Greetings and welcome to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tuned in today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we'll continue our series of studies on rightly dividing the Word of Truth. Today, we will look at heaven and earth and God's plan and God's purpose for both the heaven and the earth. So we invite you to stay tuned now as we look at this basic division in Scripture and understand how we can use that basic division that God put in Scripture to help us rightly divide the Word of Truth. We will start our series today, our study today, in 2 Timothy. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy. And as you do that, I'll remind you once again that you're watching Grace Alive and that we do have materials available for you. If you write to us, at the end of the program, we'll be giving you a mail address, an internet address, and also a toll-free phone number. And if you'd like to take those down and then use those to contact us, we certainly would invite and encourage you to do so. And if you request it, we'd be glad to send you either the audio or video cassette tapes of this entire month's series of studies. Right now, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll look at two verses as we begin our study today. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture, every word from Genesis to Revelation, is given by the inspiration of God. And every word is profitable. Every word will help us, in verse 17, to be a workman thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now look, if we look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, we read this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So in 2 Timothy 2:15, we're given some instruction about what we do with all those words. Every word in Scripture is inspired by God. How do we use them? Well, first of all, we have to study them. And as we said last week, study carries with it more of an idea than just casually reading. We could just casually read about some historic event, about the Revolutionary War. Let's say we just casually read about what happened during the Revolutionary War, or we could really study what happened and study the men involved and study the birth of our nation and study all of that. And people have devoted their entire lives to studying that kind of thing. So there's clearly a difference between just reading about it and studying it. And what God wants us to do with the Bible is more than just read it. He wants us to study it. And anytime we study something, there has to be some system to study it, some organized way to study it. And the organized way that God gives us to study His Word is rightly dividing the Word of Truth. And last week we saw that that simply means to take the instructions that God has given and place them in their proper context. We looked, for example, last week at the dietary laws, how that He told Adam and Eve that they could eat herbs, eat only the fruit of the ground. He told Noah that he could eat of animals. Man then became a meat eater. He told the nation Israel through Moses, there's only certain kind of creatures that you can eat, certain kind of land animals, certain kind of sea animals, and certain kinds of the fowl of the air. Through Paul, he tells us every creature of God is good and nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. So clearly, he's given different instructions to different groups of people in different time frames. Rightly dividing the word of truth is understanding a way that we can determine the commandments and the instructions that God has given to us in an objective way. So we don't just pick and choose. So we don't just end up opening up the Scripture and saying, well, I wonder what God wants me to do, and we close our eyes and put our hand on a verse, and that's the verse. That's what God wants me to do. That's not a proper way to study the Scriptures. That's not an objective way. That's not a systematic way to study the Bible. The proper way to study it, the systematic way to study it, is rightly dividing the Word of Truth. That is, understanding the context in which God has given instructions and applying those instructions and those commandments to the people that He intends to have them. Now, the important thing, as we say that we need some kind of a system to study Scripture, is that we don't come up with some man-made system and try to make God's Word fit into it. That's what happens oftentimes, is that man will come up with a system and say, here's how I think we ought to study God's Word, and then try to make the Bible fit into that system. And that's just as big a mistake and causes just as much confusion as having no system at all to study. We need to use a system of study that God ordains. God's the one that tells us to rightly divide the word of truth. God's the one that tells us that there needs to be a systematic way to our study, a systematic method to our study. So we need to allow Him to show us those divisions. We need to allow Him to show us how we divide His Word and in what context we are to place things. And there is a division in God's Word that goes from, remember I said every word from Genesis to Revelation is the Word of God, and they're all profitable. And there is also a division in Scripture that goes from Genesis to Revelation. Turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, and turn also to Revelation chapter 21. And let's look at this most basic division of Scripture. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know, it's interesting there. He didn't say, in the beginning, God created the universe. In the beginning, God created everything. He makes a specific division. In the beginning, God created two things, the heaven and the earth. If we go to Genesis chapter 21, we read this, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So in Scripture, the basic division, that God makes that is there from Genesis to Revelation is heaven and earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. John says, I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, there was no more sea. Even after this creation that we see now is passed away and there's a new creation, that new creation is described in those same terms with that same division, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So it would seem reasonable, if God says, rightly divide the word of truth, that is, give to each person that which is theirs. Have some systematic way to study my word. Have an objective standard to use to determine whether a passage is to you and for you and about you, or to and for and about somebody else. The most basic division in the Scripture is this. Even the division in Scripture that we all know about, Old Testament and New Testament, that's a division that man put there. The chapters, the verses, those are divisions that man put there. But those words on the page, in Genesis 1:1, God created heaven and earth. Those words on the page in Revelation chapter 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Those are God's words. That is God's division in what He's doing. Heaven and earth. New heaven, new earth. So we're going to look at the Bible in the way God divides it. We're going to divide the Scripture, rightly divide the Word of Truth, using the division, using exactly the terms that God uses. Not taking some man-made system and imposing it, but simply allowing the verses to say what they say and allowing God to divide His own Word and allowing God to give us the systematic approach that we need to use to study His Word. For example, let's see how this would work. In Genesis 1:1, we're told God created the heaven and the earth. If we turn to Genesis chapter 1 and go just to verse 2, just the very next verse, we read this, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Immediately, when we go to Genesis 1:2, the focus is on the earth. God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. If we go down to verse 26 of Genesis 1, when he creates man, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. When he created man, he put him on the earth to have dominion over the earth. So it becomes clear that, yes, God created the heaven and the earth, and in creating the heaven and the earth, he now begins to tell us some things about the earth. He begins to structure the earth and bring light to the earth and water on the earth and plants on the earth and puts man on the earth and says, I want you to have dominion on the earth. So God's focus there early in Genesis is clearly on the earth. Let's turn over to the book of Genesis chapter 9. There is a cataclysmic event that we read about in Genesis 6 through 9. It's the flood. The flood from which Noah and his family were saved. And after that flood, God says this, Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Where's God's focus? Where's God's plan? What's he telling Noah to do? You need to go out, you need to be fruitful, you need to multiply, and you need to replenish the earth. You need to pick up where Adam's seed left off. I gave this commandment to Adam. He failed. I'm going to start again with you and your children, and I want you to go out and be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, we see the birth of a nation. And next week we're going to talk more about the people of right division, the groups of people that God has used and his plan and his purpose for the nation Israel and the church, the body of Christ. Here in Genesis 12, we see him calling out Abram. He's going to change his name to Abraham, and he's going to use Abraham to build a nation. And that nation is going to have a purpose. Let's read about it. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I'm going to make one nation of you, Abraham, and I'm going to use that nation to bless the other families or nations of the earth. That word families there comes from back in Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10 and verse number 5. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families in their nations. The grandsons of Noah end up having the land divided, and it's divided by those families, the descendants of Noah, and their tongues. They each get their own tongue, and those families with their own tongue become nations. So when he says to Abram, and you shall all families of the earth be blessed, he's talking about these families that had become nations back in Genesis chapter 10. I will use one nation to bless the nations of the earth. So the focus is still on the earth. And as we begin to go through Scripture, we see the focus on the earth. Who is it? When God deals with Adam, when God deals with Noah, when God deals with Abram, who becomes Abraham, as God deals with these men, the focus in their ministry and the focus of what they're doing is on the earth. The focus of what he's doing with Adam is on the earth. The focus of what he's doing with Noah. The focus of what he's going to do with Abraham and that nation that comes with from Abraham is on the earth. Now, as you go through the law and you go through the prophets, we find that as long as God is dealing with that nation, Israel, and as I said, we'll talk more about that nation next week, but as long as he deals with that nation, his focus remains here on the earth, and on blessing the Gentiles, on blessing the nations of the earth through that nation Israel. Let's turn over to the book of 2 Samuel. In 2 Samuel, we read of a kingdom that is going to come on the earth. 2 Samuel. And in 2 Samuel, let's look at chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse number 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. Now this is Nathan speaking to David. David is the king of Israel. When thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him as I took it away from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words, according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. He speaks to David, and he says, David, I'm going to establish your kingdom forever. Now, where did David rule? Well, he ruled here on the earth. Where was his throne? It was here on the earth. And he said, I'm going to establish your kingdom and your throne and your rule and your reign forever. An earthly reign, an earthly rule. And he promised to David that of your kingdom there will be no end. And in that promise, we see the promise of a literal, visible, physical, earthly Davidic kingdom. A kingdom that will exist here on the earth. A kingdom in which the seed of David will rule. A kingdom which is real and physical as this podium in front of me. And it will be right here on this earth with Jesus Christ, the seed of David, sitting on the throne of his father David and ruling. The promise made there to David is of an earthly, literal, visible, physical kingdom. Turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 60. And notice what the prophets have to say is in store. What is their focus? What is their view? Isaiah 60 verse 1, speaking of Israel here, he says, Arise, shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. The Gentiles and the kings, they're going to come. They're going to rule. They're going to see Israel rule and reign over a kingdom. The prophets, what the prophets prophesied was information about that kingdom that is to come. Isaiah says the Gentiles are going to come to that light. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Daniel. Let's go to the prophet Daniel and see what Daniel has to say about that kingdom. And Daniel also talks about the kingdom of the Lord that is to come, and what that kingdom is going to be, and how that kingdom is going to function and to rule and to reign. Daniel, let's go to chapter number 2 of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. And Daniel in chapter 2 talks about, we won't have time to go into all the detail, but he talks about seeing this image with a head of gold and with the arms of silver and the belly of brass. And then he says this in Daniel chapter 2. He says in verse 34, Thou sawest till that a stone was cut without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And a stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. The stone that smote the image, which is Christ, becomes a great mountain and fills the whole earth. You see, what Daniel prophesied about was that same kingdom, that literal, visible, physical, earthly, Davidic kingdom. Daniel is prophesying about a kingdom that will exist here on the earth. A kingdom that the God of heaven will establish here on the earth. In fact, he says in Daniel that the Most High God rules in the kingdoms of men. So as we rightly divide the word of truth, God divided heaven and earth. Adam, Noah, Abram, David, the prophets, they're all talking about that kingdom here on the earth. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Luke. Luke, chapter number 1 and verse 30. When Jesus Christ comes in his earthly ministry, what is the focus then? Luke chapter 1 and verse number 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. He shall be great and be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. You know what the angel said about Jesus Christ and why he was coming to this earth? He's coming to sit on the throne of his father David, and he's going to rule over that kingdom that was promised to David, and he's going to have the authority in that kingdom that the prophets had talked about, that Daniel talked about, the stone cut without hands and smites the feet of the image, and that stone grows and becomes a great mountain that fills the whole earth. In Scripture, mountain is a type of a kingdom. Jesus Christ comes to fulfill all these things, all the promises to Adam and Noah and Abram and David and the prophets about the establishment of a literal, visible, physical, earthly, Davidic kingdom. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 3. What is in view in Acts chapter 3 as Peter preaches? Acts chapter 3 and verse number 19. Acts 3 verse 19. We read this. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. You know what? Peter is preaching about the same thing. The things that spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. That's what Peter's talking about. The establishment of this kingdom on the earth. The goal of prophecy is to establish that kingdom on the earth. Now it's interesting. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, we see the salvation of Saul. His name will be changed to Paul. He'll become the Apostle of the Gentiles. We'll talk more next week about what he did as the Apostle of the Gentiles. But notice Acts 9 and verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, if he found any this way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from... And what's the next word there in your Bible if you're following along? It's a light from heaven. And the ascended Christ, not Christ in his earthly ministry. We should have put in here also Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry is looking for that earthly kingdom and talking about that earthly kingdom and came to rule in that earthly kingdom. But now an ascended Christ speaks from heaven to a new apostle, the only apostle called from Jesus Christ from heaven, not from earth. And he begins to reveal some information to Paul about a heavenly program. And it is Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, that receives that information. Very quickly, turn with me if you go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians. And in Ephesians, in this one book, it's fascinating to see how the focus has shifted in Paul's ministry from the establishment of an earthly kingdom to a heavenly. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. In chapter 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, those heavenly places. He says in Ephesians 2, you're seated in heavenly places. He says in Ephesians 3, you're a witness to principalities and powers in heavenly places. He says in Ephesians 6, your warfare is against principalities and powers in heavenly places. He says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul's focus becomes not the establishment of a literal, visible, physical, earthly Davidic kingdom, but his focus becomes our establishment in a heavenly kingdom. The prophets and Jesus Christ and Peter all presented Jesus Christ returning to establish a kingdom here. What does Paul present? He presents Jesus Christ coming to catch us away in the clouds to be with him there in heaven forever. The difference between the earthly program and the heavenly program is simply the difference between coming and going. Jesus Christ is coming to establish an earthly kingdom, and he's going to take the body of Christ to heaven to rule and reign in his heavenly kingdom. So this basic division, heaven and earth, is the basic division of Scripture that God makes. Not that man makes, that God makes. And next week we'll talk more about that division and the people that fit with that division. Right now, we invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have. Our address is simply Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE, and our web address, www.gracealive.us. If you write and request it, we'll be glad to send you the audio or video cassette tapes of this entire month's series of studies. If you have questions or comments, we'd love to hear those also. And until next week, when we'll be here again talking about rightly dividing the word of truth, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.